Time is now again for the Plus Ultra My Hero Academia podcast. I am Starman. I'm here with Autumnal Equinox.
Hi.
And Sir Trainwreck.
I need to eat less fat.
Wow. That came out of nowhere.
Well, Fat Gum gets introduced, so I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, the little girl's like, oh, he's so cute. So welcome
I'm a fat
back.
Train wreck, I could say.
I guess. We can move on. We're moving on to episodes 68 and 69 of season 4. Before we get all of our summaries from fandom.com, so go there and check out their website and give them the credit they deserve. Autumnal Equinox.
Episode 68.
Use your quark.
Let's go. Gutsy Red Riot. On Etsuba Way, two villains with gigantification quirks battle and create havoc. While the police reports the scene, Nejire appears to take down the villains. She charges her quirk to 30 output and knocks both villains down with her super move, Nejire Wave. Next, Uravity and Froppy follow up with a joint super move, Meteor of Reverent Skies. The number 9 hero, Ryukyu, congratulates her trainees on a job well done. She even says they might be able to get involved in a certain investigation headed by Sir Nighteye. Meanwhile, Shigaraki and Overhaul begin their Black Communion. Shigaraki complains of being led underground for hours. Overhaul explains that the Yakuza need to take these precautions to avoid getting caught by the authorities. Mimic asks if Shigaraki is serious about joining them, but Shigaraki says there are a few conditions. The League of Villains refuse to be under anyone, and Shigaraki wants to know all about Overhaul's plan. Shigaraki reaches into his pocket, apparently threatening Chronostasis and Mimic. Both of them hold Shigaraki down and threaten him. But Shigaraki isn't fazed. He explains that one of the Yakuza meat shields simply isn't the same value as Bixis Meg compresses arm. Overhaul calls off his followers and asks Shigaraki to continue. Shigaraki pulls out one of the mysterious bullets used to stop Compressor's quirk and claims the Yakuza plan has a lot to do with this. In Ishua City, Fat Gum patrols with his trainees, Sun Eater and Red Riot. Hiroshima thanks Fat Gum for taking him in, and Amajiki recalls Hiroshima begging him in the dorms. Mounted with too much pressure, Amajiki expresses his desire to go home after Fat Gum taunts about his weak heart. A group of thieves run from the scene of a crime, but Fat Gum acts quickly to capture three of them at once after one slips away using a quirk similar to Egg Shot's. He's quickly subdued by Sun Eater's quirk Manifest, which allows him to manifest the characteristics of any food he eats. Using octopus tentacles and a clam husk, he effortlessly knocks out the crook. The crowd cheers for Fat and Sun Eater, but Amajiki gets easily embarrassed. Another criminal hiding in the crowd shoots Amajiki with the same quirk-canceling bullet that he was used on Mr. Compress. After Overhaul's meeting with Shigaraki, he admits that he wants to use these weapons to change the status quo. All for one ruled by stealing quirks, Overhaul wishes to fine-tune his method. The villain shoots Kirishima as well, but it bounces off his red rock-hard skin. Kirishima goes to pursue the fleeing villain, while Amajiki realizes his quirk won't activate. Red Riot chases the fleeing criminal down an alleyway until the villain attacks using small blades on his arm. Kirishima's quirk easily blocks this, and he knocks the villain down using Red Counter. Kirishima checks on the villain's condition and is too naive. He trusts the villain enough to help him up, but the tables are quickly turned on him when the criminal uses a quirk enhancing drug to create long, powerful blades piercing through his body. While Amajiki regroups with the police, Kirishima struggles as his hardening is even pierced by the villain. He recalls talking to his classmates about how he's struggling to keep up using his one-dimensional quirk. However, Bakugo claimed that those who refuse to go down are the strongest heroes of them all. As more blades rush towards him, Kirishima activates his maximum hardness using a new move, Red Riot Unbreakable. That's my favorite move.
Unbreakable! They always scream their move before
well,
they do it.
That's like everything, but
that's like telling your opponent, I'm coming in with a left hook. Just do it.
Well, that's my favorite move that any character has in the show. I like Unbreakable. Like, he literally is like a shield. He can't be broken, and it's like a cool design.
I'm not saying the move's bad. I'm just saying
I know, but
don't
that was like
it.
One of the things in the manga, because at this point, I already caught up with the manga, so at this point, I was waiting for stuff to get animated, And that was one of the things I was really excited for, because in the manga, it's not colored. So, like, the black looked really cool, how it was shaded and stuff. So, I was, like, excited for it to get animated.
Makes sense. I mean, I'm not...
Yeah, well...
I like the move.
It's a cool move.
No, it truly is. And it works for him and his quirk.
Yeah, I really like his quirk.
Telegraphing it to everyone, telling you what you're doing.
The villain tries to refocus all his blades at one point, but Red Ryo Unbreakable has the power to bulldoze straight through them. He finishes the villain off using another super move, Red Gauntlet. The effects of Red Ryo Unbreakable and the quirk-enhancing drug end. The battle concludes with Kirishima as the victor, but the villain goes back to his cowardly crying state. Once again, Kirishima's naivety allows the villain to gain a second win. The criminal nearly escapes, but he's cut off by Fat Gum, who effortlessly captures him using his fat absorption quirk. Fat Gum reminds Kirishima that a hero can only win against villains by making them lose their will to fight back. Fat Gum and the citizens commend Kirishima on his spectacular debut. However, Kirishima recalls his cowardly past and realizes he has improved since then. Kirishima, Amajiki, and Fat Gum regroup with the police. Fat Gum prepares to take his trainees to the hospital, but he's very worried about the drugs that can stop someone from using their quirk. The next day at school, Kirishima's classmates congratulate him on his debut that's all over the news. Uraraka and Sue are also featured in the news. While everyone else is carefree, Midoriya can't help but feel Eri's weight on his shoulders.
That's all social media problem. It's all over social media. didn't Bakugo get upset by that too? That he was getting the screen time?
A little bit, but like Hiroshima's his best friend at the school, so it's like if it happened to Deku, he'd be like screaming at the walls. But it happened to Kirishima, he was like, okay.
Well, in a way, it was just the episode when I forget who put it together that you have high friends for Deku, and doesn't Bakugo hear that and get kind of mad because Midoriya's been with all these.
Yeah, because Bakugo Todoroki can't do the work studies because they're doing the provisional license exam.
Okay.
Training, right. Whatever.
So, you got anything to say?
Episode? I just like that it gives Kirishima, you know,
his moment in the spotlight. Yeah.
Kirishima's my second favorite. So.
It's very nice, too, because these are like the episodes where it just like shines a light and it gives. Not only like a filler episode, but this is a critical episode. So this isn't just like something you like, oh, I don't have to care about watching. But since it's with like Fat Gum and the whole arc of this this whole series and this whole season, I would say, Kirishima like learning his power during this. The only thing I hate is like it has to be like. A fake moonfish guy, you know, because like in season 3, they fought.
Who's moonfish?
He was a guy from the training camp arc that got like KO'd by Tokoyami. Oh,
yeah, okay. He was that guy that was like he was on the BDSM, like kind of like wrapped up, and he like had literally the same power as this guy, and. Whatever.
But didn't it come out of his teeth or something? Am I wrong?
It did.
Yeah, okay.
Because the guy was like, you know, he was wrapped up, and that's why it was cool, because he was this like freak. You know, you're like, what's his quirk? And he like had these teeth that just like destroyed everything. And it was very scary. And then they did the same thing to this guy who's like, I have like razor blades that come onto my hands. And then he like turned into literally this character. He's seen before, so it was like, but the way they did it was cool, because Kirishima just was like, I have to become a better hero, like Harden, Red Riot, like, just like, go, you know, plus Ultra, and like, he is a great, and an important character, he's not just like some, this isn't, again, like, a minus, like, you know, like, you can't forget about
He's not a throwaway character.
Yeah, so it was nice, even though it was like it was a throwaway bad guy character. Mm-hmm. So I guess I could forgive them for that. And it made sense for him to fight somebody with that same power, because it's like you can't make like a whole other thing when they're doing the whole overhaul stuff. It's like, So you got to give somebody that's like got some dumb powers. Like, all right, he has spikes coming out.
Well, it definitely is important to where the episode anyways, where it introduces the bullets that are takeaway quirks.
For sure, yeah.
That's very critical with the whole
entire and him saving Sunburst and stuff like that,
Yes. So that, to me, was important. Well, I'm not saying I don't like Kuroshima, but...
Kirishima.
I know it's Kirishima, but it says Kuroshima, I always say that Kuroshima, because... Oh, you guys understand history. Anyways, I like him. He's good, but it wasn't all one of my favorite episodes. So just
he has later on. He has his like his episode. It's down the line. Like his that's his time. But this one was a good like extra one because it's like Kirishima is my second favorite character. So it's like him getting screen time is always great.
No, yeah.
And then I liked like this was the first episode.
I don't like I mean I like Kirishima, but he's not one of my favorites. Mm-hmm, but like, it's like. The animation that they show with him getting, you know, it's like...
Like Unbreakable?
Yeah. For sure.
That's my favorite move in, like, the series. It's really like cool. Unbreakable. And then,
and that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like they don't lack on giving him, even as a, you know, like a little character.
Yeah.
As he is, they give him good screen time.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool. Like, My Hero Academia, like, you know, like the animation studio and stuff to give them that credit of showing them that. And you can see him doing that against like the enemy, and like the enemy looks like terrible and he looks awesome.
Yeah.
And it goes into like, obviously what we're going to be talking about, but
yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, if you like Kirishima or not, it's just, it's a very like well done episode.
Yeah. And like, this is like one of the first episodes I was excited for because I already like caught up with the manga at this point when I watched this for the first time. So it was like, it was cool like seeing Unbreakable. And it was also cool. I'm pretty sure this is the first episode you see Amajiki's son, like his Sun Eater outfit.
Yeah.
And I really like his outfit. His hero costume is probably like my favorite in the series. I like the hood and then like
he does have a cool
I like
cool
his hood
outfit.
And I like his like glass like those masks.
Are you like octopuses and like,
and then
he's way too shy and chicken feet. He's way too shy. But yeah, I like
I like the dynamic. I like the dynamic between Fat Gum, Amajiki and Kirishima because it's kind of like he kind of took in.
It doesn't
like,
make sense. That's funny.
I like it's like for like
hard squishy. If I had to
pick like out of like because there's like three kind of groups happening this arc and it's like the Night Eye Agency stuff. There's like the Uraraka thing with Sue and Ajiri, and then there's the Fat Gum thing. If I had to pick one of them, I'd choose the Fat Gum because it's like I really like Fat Gum because. He kind of took in, like, Amajiki, he's, like, really shy, has, like, no self-confidence, and he's trying to, like, build that up. And then for Kirishima, it's, like, it's kind of little head down the line, you'll find out, but he also has, like, little to no self-confidence, but he kind of just puts on a face to be, try and get stronger, you know? So he kind of took in the most, least self-confidence, too, and he's like, oh, you can do it, you know?
So. It seems to me, in fact, is the nicest of all the pro heroes.
Oh yeah,
I love Fat Gum.
I really like Fat Gum. Yeah, he just took in two kids.
I don't know about his quirk, but he is
he's a shit. He's the best.
I like his attitude. I like his
yeah. He
overall
like he took in
he
like the two like least confident heroes, and he's trying to like build them up so they can be with like the rest. You know,
no, I
he's
get
a good
it,
teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a good teacher leader should do.
Yeah, so all right. I like this episode.
Anything else? Can we move on to an unpleasant talk? I want to see if you guys picked up on the Easter egg that I discovered in this one.
Yeah, I'm good.
Episode 69, An Unpleasant Talk. Midoriya, Kirishima, Uraraka, and Sue leave school for their respective hero work studies. However, they're curious when they happen to be heading to the exact same way. Eventually, they meet up with the big three, and everyone arrives at Night Eye's building. To their surprise, many pro heroes from Ryukyu, Fat Gum, and Gran Torino, to minor heroes like Rock Lock and Mr. Brave, even Eraserhead is present for the meeting between heroes hosted by Nejire asks what's going on, and her mentor reminds her trainees that they've been included in a special case. Night Eye announces that they will all be discussing the Yakuza organization, the Shihai Zeitgeist. The conference began shortly, and Night Eye sidekicks explain how they ended up tailing the Yakuza following the Team Reservoir Dogs incident and the Sidekicks' fight against the League of Villains. It is revealed that Gran Torino is involved in investigating the League's movement. The old man tells Midoriya that he's gotten himself dragged into something ugly. Rockback interrupts to ask why kids are present, since they're slower to understand situations like this. Full of attitude.
Doesn't like the kids.
Fatcom defends his trainees and reveals they're directly involved in the case.
He's locked into it.
He announces that Amajiki was shot with a bullet that harms Quirks. Eraserhead explains his power can halt Quirks without damaging the target's Quirk Factor. However, these bullets do significant harm to the Quirk Factor. Amajiki was able to heal over time, meaning the bullets are likely still in a testing phase. Sir Night Eye claims the Shihai Zaikai are involved in a large crime ring that has been distributing drugs, including Quirk Enhancers. One of the villains that the Ryukyu agency fought was using such an item as well. Fatcom reveals that the quirk canceling bullets contain blood and cell samples from a human. Sir Night Eye adds that Midoriya and Mirio encountered Overhaul's daughter, Eri, who had bandages running up and down her legs. This gives the conference a dark tone, as both boys realize what a mistake they've made by leaving the girl behind. Both of them get up and proclaim that next time they will save and protect the girl. Night Eye's plan to use the heroes he's collected from all over Japan to investigate known Heisekai properties. It is crucial that they find the location of the girl and obtain solid evidence before striking, or else the Yakuza will become wise to the investigation. Eraserhead asks Sir Night Eye to use his foresight to gain information. However, Night Eye refuses because he might view someone's immediate death. After a somber exchange, the meeting concludes with all the heroes agreeing to investigate. The UA students meet in the back, saddened by the state of the girl. Aizawa arrives and encourages his students to keep fighting, truly believing that they can save the girl next time. Sir Night Eye and Gran Torino meet to discuss Midoriya, and Night Eye admits that the young boy reminds him a lot of Om Light. Midoriya regains his confidence and is determined to rescue Eri. Meanwhile, Eri's new caretaker tries to cheer her up. He worries that he will be killed by Overhaul if he fails to tend to her, or if she attempts to run away again. She cries in bed and thinks about Midoriya's hug. She's never felt a hand so kind before and is suffering under Overhaul's watch.
All right, before we go any further, did either of you two pick up the Beatles Easter egg that was in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, down the road they're walking, yeah.
That
Abbey Road.
Abbey Road, yes. Did you guys see that?
Were you upset that there is no Rush?
No, not at all. I mean... Because
they do the Abbey Road.
There was a Rush Cafe, so that takes care of that. But go on.
Wait, they do a Rush one?
Yeah, it's called Lunch Rush. Yeah, he's counting it, even though it's not a Rush. Right. That was a Beatles reference. That was just you're reaching.
Yeah, seeing you two were not alive while the Beatles were around, I'm surprised you guys picked it up.
Hey, I was alive.
No, you weren't. Were you born in 72?
I was alive during the Beatles were around.
No, you weren't. Where were you born in 72?
I was alive during the Beatles were around.
When were you born?
It's a joke.
I don't get it, though. Explain that joke.
I'm alive during the Beatles that are around.
You've got me so lost. I totally don't understand what you're getting at.
I'm just saying, I'm alive during the Beatles.
No, you weren't.
He doesn't get the joke.
I don't get it. I don't. How could you have been alive? Wait, we got two left. You got maybe half the Beatles. What can it be?
I'm just joking. Relax. I'm just saying I was alive during when the Beatles were around.
All right, let's move on. I just don't get that. It just went over my head. Anyways, what do you say about this episode?
It's cool.
The unpleasant talk.
Yeah. It's just...
Besides, Beatles being the best band ever.
That's funny. That really is funny.
Now, I like this episode because I like the when in an anime and stuff, when they like do the like congregation of like everybody like getting together, and My Hero does it really cool where they don't know they're coming together and they're doing the they're like, I'm on the same bus,
figuring out why we're going to the same place. Sure, yeah, yeah. I get you now.
it's very hilarious, and like Deku does it really funny, and it's all the same. All right, let me I gotta talk about this way different. It's just good because I like where they show all the characters and what they're doing. Can you up on this?
No, it's I think where you're going is I like how they're showing how each one are how they're all discovering little by little that they're where they're headed to. Yeah. I mean, they each have their own little discovery. I mean, it's weird. We both, they all have different agencies, but they're getting and going to the same exact place. They're all going to Night Eye's place, and they figure it out as they go along. I get that, and it's kind of neat the way they do that. The way they had each one figured out, and I think Midoriya was the smartest of them all because I think he figured it out first. I just think the guy with the attitude was I mean, why are these kids here? I mean, I totally understood. I mean, I totally got what he was going at because he did. The kids did keep Kirishima that kept asking. You know,
well, when you put them in like blindly, of course they're going to ask questions, especially when it's like.
Well, there were they. Wait, did they all have more intel? Than
no,
the
they
kids?
Didn't know that they were A, going to this meeting, and B, what they were doing. Uraraka and Sue both said.
I meant the pros. Did the pros?
Oh, the pros probably knew.
They all had the intel.
Yeah, the
so
pros probably
that's
knew.
That's what's gross about it.
Yeah,
like,
it's just the kids didn't know, and then you like kind of give them attitude for being there with, and then asking questions when they weren't given any intel about it.
Yeah.
Like, why are they just going to go into something very dangerous like the Shiai Saikai and not have any information?
But it made sense that, you know, it's like nice that they all went towards to where they were going to go, you know, because, you know, they all thought they were going to be branched out to other places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Uraka and Deku and all that. They're like, why are we going to these same places? Mm-hmm. And Uraka's like, oh, the dragon lady's like, oh, yeah, you're going to be
is
in
it
the
dragoon
next.
Or is it dragon?
Dragoon, but.
Okay, I wasn't sure. No, I'm just.
But she told Uraka that she's going to be in the next case.
Yeah. Yes.
And like, you know, they all like realize that they're like, duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just cool.
Well, it was a heavy talk, too. I mean, that's why they call it an unpleasant talk for the title of it, because of what was going down. I mean, they realize, well, this is the mob we're dealing with, and not only the mob, they have a quirk-removing capability now, so that changes
well,
the game.
And they're, like, actually doing stuff, you know?
Yes.
It's like they're fighting evil.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is probably... I know Midoriya had Stain earlier, but this is probably their first, where the four of them anyways, I don't know about the big three, but the four of them anyways going against actual villains. Is...
Yeah, it was just a cool talk. It was a cool episode too.
Well, and the whole point of this arc is the camaraderie of heroes. Like, that's the whole point of it. It's not like All Might to take care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to become a team of sorts. I guess you call them... collective individualist, if you understand that contradiction, that dialectical way of saying it. But they have to become a team. Without All Might can't take care of anything anymore. It makes total sense.
And that's the thing. And you know, that's what's like so frustrating, where it's like Deku, it's like, God, just take care of it. Could that have all been done by just taking her? And
well, the story would have ended, but then again, overall could have used his quirk.
But
and,
season
and
five,
that
was crazy.
No, your point earlier is a good point, that with them being the mafia, there would have been repercussions, and it could have been worse had they taken her.
And that's the, and it does work out in the sense of why they introduce the, you know, them taking care of, you know, the mafia and stuff like that. So,
well, it's a formidable opponent now, and the mafia is a group, so they have to be a group. So it makes so much sense.
It's a group against group.
Yes, it makes so sense that they had to become a group in order to beat a formidable group. So it works out to me. I see. This is part of what I like about it's not just the anime itself. I like the writing,
and
to me, this is a good example of they really have good writers there. Autumn, do you have anything to add to our?
No, it's just a discussion. You know, like prepare for battle, first discussion instead
it's
of
true.
Going
it's not, it was nothing but a battle plan. It really was. Yeah. The general sitting around. Oh, this is what we're gonna do. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and give your new podcast a plug?
I have Banzai Chat. If you want to check out that Banzai Chat, Banzai. People sometimes get that mixed up. But and I have a new podcast. Don't skip the intro. Check that out. It's going to be out by this time this podcast is out. So check it out.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate every single listener that we have, and hopefully we can attract some more. And you can listen to us anywhere you get your podcast or at Facebook. Thanks for watching or listening.
Go beyond Plus Ultra!